you for taking the time out of your busy day. For those of you guys who are here, just so you guys are aware, we are going to be recording. Just so that we can provide it for reference for anybody who needs to go back and refresh themselves on any answers that we give to the questions they have today, as well as sharing it to anybody who couldn't make it. So that's the plan for today, for right now. So just so you guys know, so when you see it pop up that there's it's being recorded, that's the reason. So we'll give it a little bit and we'll let a few other people join, and then we will get started.
I have a question.
Yes.
Hi, this is Wendy. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Are we supposed to not be seeing each other?
It's up to you. If you guys would like to be on camera or or off, that's fine.
I don't see you. Are you on here?
Oh, Wendy, if you're on your iPad, scroll to the left. All the people. Just take your finger and push it to the left. There we are.
Well, you were. There you are. Oh.
Good
That's
to see
better.
You.
I was seeing nothing but a dark screen.
Oh, no.
Well, now we got your awesome face.
It's like, okay. Lena.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, folks.
Ziggy.
Hi,
go ahead.
Hi,
I'm Elena.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Hello, I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Hi. I am new to this entirely.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to just stay off screen right now because I'm in a weird place, but I will be here on the call with you. Thanks for joining us today.
We have about a couple more people that we're waiting on. We'll give them a chance. There's like two or three more people. So once we'll give them a couple more minutes and then we'll get going. I am going to ask that in the first part that everybody put their voice on mute just so that if there's any background noise or anything like that, it doesn't disturb the rest of the people that are going to be talking or listening in. And if you know how to do that, great. If you don't know how to do that, let me know and I can tell you how to do that. Oh, look at that. Okay. I think we have everybody that RSVP'd yes is here. 18 people. This is great. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our second Q&A session for our Arts United grants. I'm Lex Motley. I'm the Coalition Coordinator for the Arts United San Pedro, as well as the Event Coordinator for the Arts Open San Pedro. If for some of you guys know me from the Arts Open events. So I also am the Coalition Coordinator for Arts United. So it's good to see a lot of familiar faces and see a lot of familiar names. I'm so excited to get to know everybody that I haven't met, or if this is the first time you're meeting me, and answer any of the questions that you guys have about our grant program. Before we get into this, though, for those either someone told you about our grant program, or you're not local, or you're just new to San Pedro, or you're an artist that have been here for a while, Arts United San Pedro was created after the San Pedro Arts and Culture District was designated as a cultural district in 2017 by the California Arts Council. It's one of 14 arts districts in California, and that number is growing, which is amazing given everything going on. We're still growing. There's still more culture districts being made. Together, the people who advocated for us to become an arts and cultural district, which is made up of a lot of the nonprofit organizations and arts organizations that are here in San Pedro, we came together and created an artist coalition, which is known as Arts United San Pedro. And our mission is to create a framework to combine efforts to promote San Pedro's artists. So with that, we receive funding, which we have used to fund grant programs like the one that you guys are all here to hear about. So we do have a couple of partners that are on this call. So before we get to know all the other artists, if you are a partner, I would like you guys to go ahead and introduce yourself. And we can start with Wendy, since you're here, and then we'll jump over to Amy because I know that she's a little busy right now.
Hi, I'm Wendy Barnes, and I'm an Artists United member and a grantee. And I just would like to know how many of you are affiliated with music in any way, any performers or people with the music industry? One. Okay. All right. Very good.
And the radio station.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And Renee. Okay. All right. Well, this is a very good opportunity for those that are looking to further a project or need collaboration of some sort. So I encourage you to go for the grant. It's very likely we have a small group, so you stand a very good chance of being awarded. So, and I offer myself, if you need some help, I may be able to help you. But mostly I deal with musicians and singers and people that are putting on programs, events. I am the founder of the San Pedro Music Festival. So that's kind of my wheelhouse. But if I can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out.
Thank you, Wendy. Does any of our other partners want to introduce themselves?
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick. This is Amy Erickson. I'm the director of Angels Gate Cultural Center. Thanks so much to everybody for coming, part of this partnership. And Arts United San Pedro is really trying to uplift arts and artists here in the city. And so we're excited to be able to put out some more dollars. We've already given out almost $100,000 in the first two RFPs for community engagement activities. So you are in great hands here with Wendy and Lex, and I'm gonna be out of the meeting for about 20 minutes and then I'll join you all back in here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy. Let's see, Andrew, do you wanna go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, I'm Andrew Silbron. A lot of you know me and I know you. I'm here representing the Waterfront District, which is really sort of downtown San Pedro boundaries, but a partner with many other people, including Angels Gate and the Aquarium and Grand Vision Foundation, others. So I'm here on behalf of Linda Grimes, who's on vacation, and that's it.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. Ryan, I see you joined us. Welcome. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Ryan Blaney with the San Pedro Business Improvement District, which is roughly the historic downtown and the waterfront. And a part of it, it's Arts United and bringing more art to the community. So this is a great opportunity to get some funds.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Let's see. Do we have any of our other partners on? I don't see it. So, I would like, oh, did I hear someone? No? Okay. I would like to give you guys an opportunity to introduce yourselves to us as well. I do have some questions that I want you guys to answer when you introduce yourself. First, I would like to know your name, obviously. what kind of art you do, and if you guys have a studio or space here in San Pedro, or if you're an organization, what your organization does. So, who would like to go first?
I'll get this out of the way. I am completely new to this, but my name is Amos James. I am a writer. I work in the film industry, behind the camera mostly. But what inspired my action is to write an Irish dance historical collaboration with Lyons Academy of Irish Dance, as my daughter is an Irish dancer. So I did the research of the history of Irish dance and then came up with A Dance Through Time, which is a theatrical stage play narrated to give you the history of Irish dance from Celtic to current day. This is my first foray into grants or any of that kind of project. A little nervous.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and being curious and open enough to come to the Q&A. And so hopefully we'll give you the information that you need to be able to go forward. Thank you. You're welcome.
Dennis and I will go next, but I want to start by saying, Amos, we'll have to talk at some point. I grew up doing Irish dance, so I started about 16 years ago. Back into it as an adult here in Los Angeles. So I'd be curious to what you're working on. My name is Veronica Cotter, and I'm new to the board at Angels Gate. I'm very excited about this opportunity. And I have been in the photo industry for over 40 years, primarily on the analog side, but my most recent position was on the digital side. And photography is how I met my husband, Dennis Keeley. Dennis.
Go. Oh, I'm Dennis Keeley. I have a studio at Angels Gate, I think for the last 28 years or so. I was on the board there. I was a musician. I transitioned into being a photographer, photographing musicians for about 30 years. Also worked for Getty Conservation and Research. And most recently, I worked with Alta C in documenting the warehouses, which has been a really interesting part of my job, my career. We have a big garden. And Veronica's not going to tell you this, but she danced with the Chieftains.
Yeah, I did.
So
I did. Yep.
That's awesome.
Go on.
I know the band.
Yep.
All right. Awesome. Who would like to, Larry, since you're already unmuted, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Larry LeBeau. I'm an artist. Work with Kathy, who's here somewhere, and we run House 1002. And I'm also a resident artist at Alpha C. Not really sure what the grant program's about, but thought it'd be a good thing to listen to and connect with people. So,
thank you. Welcome. All right. Who would like to go next? Go ahead, Ann.
My name is Ann Weber, and I'm a sculptor. I have a studio at Angel's Gate, and I also live in San Pedro. And I make large sculptures out of corrugated cardboard.
Beautiful. I've seen your work. It is phenomenal. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My name is Renee O'Connor. I'm the artistic director of the House of Bards Theater Company, and we started productions in 2019 at the Grand Annex. We put on Macbeth and A Midsummer Night's Dream, and just recently we went over to the El Segundo Performing Arts Center, but we would like to return to San Pedro. We're just currently looking at our 2026 season, which will begin with John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men. But our mission statement is to bring classical literature to the stage so that we can also work with the high school English department so that they'll read the books and then come to the shows and also encourage more and more people to see live theater.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Right. Who would like to go next?
I'll go.
Okay.
Hi, my son. I'm an artist and curator. My studio is at Ellie Harbor Arts on 4th and Mesa. I'm a multidisciplinary artist. I paint. I do sculpture installation and some thematic photography and video type work. I'm a curator at Bergamot Station in BG Gallery. And this is my second year applying or seeking to apply for a grant. I think my question or reason for joining this meeting is just to get some more clarity about how curators are integrated or are best integrated into this application process.
Okay, awesome. Hopefully we'll be able to answer that for you. All right. Is there anybody else who'd like to?
Hi, I'm Lindsay. I am the creative director at Crafted at the Port of Los Angeles, as well as a muralist working in Los Angeles and San Pedro. So maybe looking for money to fund a public mural project, or also maybe something, an event or something cool in the marketplace, kind of just looking for some ideas.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Okay. Go ahead, Ziggy.
Hi, everyone. Took me a second to figure out the hand, raising the hand. My name is Ziggy Merkit, and I'm part of Art in Motion, which has been in operation for 14 years. We do the San Pedro International Film Festival, which is right there behind me. And more recently, we launched Radio KCLA, which is the radio station studio. We'd love for anyone who's interested to come and check it out. And we're open to ideas and collaboration. I'm also here with Kathy Mota, who's one of our advisors. And Kathy can...
Hi. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ziggy, for the introduction. And I'm really excited to be joining Ziggy and collaborating with her. And my background is in philanthropic advising. I've had about 20 plus years in corporate philanthropy, as well as helping nonprofits, you know, kind of increase their reach and visibility and grow. So this is what I'm helping Ziggy to do with her organization.
I got to add, my background is photography as well. I started out doing photography in Australia for rock bands, so concert photography, so living the dream way back when, and also radio, and that's how this whole current thing came about. So thank you for having us.
Thank you. All right. Awesome. Melina, go ahead and then we'll do you next, Josh.
Hi, I'm Melina. I am a journalist and also a podcaster covering art, primarily in San Pedro, but throughout LA. And going into my fourth year, I had to think about that, of the podcast. And I'm here to find out if there's ways to join into this program. And events around that, promoting arts locally and in LA more widely.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Josh, did you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us. My name is Josh Friedman. I'm relatively new to San Pedro. I'm in a loft down on 7th Street. I've been here just under a year. Visual artist, work in a range of media, works on paper, drawing, collage, sculpture, ceramics, sometimes installation. Moved here after leaving teaching. I taught for about 22 years in Europe, Asia, East Coast, Midwest, and here in Southern California. And focusing mainly on my practice. I'm doing workshops again, and I haven't really gone through this type of grant process, so I'm just curious to attend and see if there might be an opportunity here that could help me serve our community more through offering visual arts. So thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. I see OPATH is up, has their hand raised.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I'm Kay.
Hi, Kay.
the director and founder of Other Places. We're a Los Angeles-based nonprofit arts organization. Our mission is to support unconventional, underrepresented artists and artist project spaces and art programming. We've been holding Other Places Art Fair, or OPATH, for 7 years. It's an annual event that focuses on unconditional gallery spaces that operate outside the privileged traditional art gallery and art fair systems. We provide a platform for diverse artists of all backgrounds and socioeconomic statuses. We're an alternative art fair with the mission to create an inclusive space for artistic projects like that, that are fluid and in definition, but bonded by an intention to exist in other places. And our belief is that no artist or gallery should be hindered by financial roadblocks in having their voices heard. So we try to have a event where all the costs are lifted and we can let people do what they want. We are returning in September to Angels Gate, and we will have an event in Escondido in September. That's who we are, and we're happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. All right, Steve, I see you are unmuted. Did you want to go ahead and introduce yourself? No? Okay. Henry, did you want to come on and introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm Henry Crusoe. Don't have a mic or a camera today, but I'm also an artist, sculpture installation artist at Angels Gate. Generally here to snoop, see the spaces and the people interested in the San Pedro arts community. I'm just really interested in art in alternative places, art as event, art as like experience. So always just trying to kind of turn my gears on those, on that level.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Steve, I see you raised your hand. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry about that. My name is Steve. I'm a curator, and I'm here supporting Sung Hee Sung, who is an artist in San Pedro. We support underrepresented artists from various communities, primarily BIPOC communities, and that is our focus.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. All right. So I think we got everybody to introduce themselves and say a little word. So we're going to go ahead and move on. I will say, if you guys are looking for, to want to connect with one another, go ahead and throw your email in the chat. That way, you know, you guys can connect. I know a couple of you asked, about the there. And then, you guys should have my contact information, but I will add that in there as well. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to the grant application process. So we're going to kind of talk about this. So some of you guys, as Wendy has attested, have been a part of the grants in the past. This is our third grant that we are funding. We did one in 2003, we did one in 2004, and now this is our third one in 2005. So, our first grant had 8 applicants. We were awarded 5, and we funded a total of $34,861. So, and that was our first one. So with the second grants, we had 23 applicants. 9 were awarded, with a total of $54,000 funded. So as you can see, there is interest. And it is pretty competitive. So I encourage you guys to do your best and to fill out the proposal to the best of your ability. If you guys have any questions or have any issues with uploading, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Don't hesitate to reach out to me. I love to help in any way that I can. So as we're going through and we're going to be talking about qualifications. A main thing is, as a lot of you guys will know, for funding, since we did fund 2, there's a gap jump. So if you apply for this year's and you don't get it, then you're eligible to apply for the next one. The same goes for the past grants. So if you applied to one and you weren't able to get, you weren't chosen, then you're able to. Words, but if you are awarded from the last year's, let's say you got an award for last year's, you are then ineligible to apply for the next one. We do this because we want to give as many people the opportunity to be funded, their projects to be funded as possible. We want to make it as fair as possible. So we don't want to be funding the same people over and over again, and that's fine. If you wait that 1 year period, you are eligible to reapply afterwards. But we just want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to be funded. So that's the first part of that. Also, applicants that are eligible to apply, they must work or reside within the harbor area and the communities within the 1-5, as we call it, the District 15. So if you live in this area, then you are good to go. If you don't live in this area, but you work in this area, your art, you have a studio here, maybe you work out of, sorry, I had a bug fly in front of my face. If you work, let's say you have a studio in Laja, but you live in Redondo Beach, you know, you would be eligible to apply for this because it falls where you have your studio or where you work is within the parameter. So, if you guys are doing a activity or an event, all activities or projects or events must take place within the San Pedro Arts and Culture District. We do this because we want as many, we want to bolster our community. We want to bring people into our community, and we want to highlight the talent that's in our community. So we want any events that are, you guys want to plan, any murals that you would want to put on display, anything like that, we would want it to be done within the Arts and Cultural District. So far, do we have any questions on that? No? Okay. So I wanted to invite...
I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
My project is through the San Pedro branch of Lions Academy of Irish Dance. Does that still qualify? I live in Huntington Beach, but mm-hmm. Lions is in San Pedro.
So, yeah. So I talked to Annie, is the one that referred you over to us, and she works here at Angels Gate. So in your instance, because you're wanting to do something that's affiliated with the dance school that's in San Pedro, then you would be okay to apply.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Did anybody else have any other questions at this time so far? Okay. So out of the nitty-gritties, we do have a couple of people on here who have gone through the grant program in the past. I want to invite Wendy, if she's able to kind of come on and talk about why she chose to apply for the grant and what part of the grant helped her the most with her project.
I was encouraged to apply for the grant because of the diversity that is attracted through the San Pedro Music Festival, and a lot of the elements seem to be conducive to what they were looking for at Arts United. And what was the second part you said?
What part of the grant process helped you the most with your, well, other than the money?
Well, I was going to say it was all about the money. It's all about the funding, of course, because I apply for grants throughout the year, and a lot of times the grants that I was applying for were not coming to me in a timely manner, and the grant from Arts United really saved me because it came in pretty quickly after I was awarded. And sometimes I'm hearing even like some of the big grants, like with the port and like that, you could wait very, very long time. So the fact that I didn't have to wait so long was the best part of it, because I was already kind of knee deep in the process of the festival, as it takes about 6 months to plan it. And I don't really have a team. I am the team. So it's a lot of work, and to have the money readily available like that was everything that was. In the areas of administration and things like that, I was able to get started with the festival as opposed to waiting.
Awesome. I would, I also wanted to ask you to share, through what was your experience with the application process of it? Was it, did you find it easy? Did you find it difficult? Did you find answers readily available if you had them?
I don't have those questions in front of me, but a tip would be to really look at the questions, because a lot of times people forget to rephrase that question, and it allows you to answer it better. So I think understanding what your mission actually is, making sure that your project aligns with the missions of Arts United, number one, and then be very specific and clear. What is your project about? Why does it matter? Who is it going to serve? And, you know, including concrete details like your other collaborators or where your venue is and timelines. And you can show, like, what the community impact is going to be, you know, emphasize how your project is going to uplift the community, especially some of the underserved groups, include workshops, free performances, you know, cross-cultural elements. All of these are very good things to include, because most grants that are available for arts are pretty much going to include a lot of the same things. So it would help you to have choose well-recorded work samples. So whenever you perform or do a project, it's very important to spend the money and get it properly documented and visual, because everybody can see that, and that speaks volumes. You don't have to do a lot of verbal explaining when you have work that you can actually show. So I would spend time getting that, because it cuts right through the you know, the fog. And start early, you know, start your application as soon as possible, so that, you know, set a deadline that's maybe 2 weeks ahead of the deadline. Set another deadline for yourself so that you have everything done. And that's some of my tips for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Dennis. Well, I saw you had a question.
Did you make a budget? Did you actually ask for a specific amount of money?
Well, I kind of knew what they were offering, but generally when I do grants, because either they're going to say yes or they're going to say yes. So so the yes may be, yeah, we're going to give it to you, but it's not going to be $100,000. We're going to give you this amount. But according to your budget, my budget is usually over $50,000, closer to $100,000. But not many people are willing to give you all of it. But if you could get some of it from one source and then find a couple of other sources and you add it all together, you can meet your budget needs.
Right.
I had a question, Alexis.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
I read through the original paperwork for the grant, and my question is about the timeline. So I don't know if it's changed now, but before it said that the project deadline was somewhere, whether that was August or September, and then that had to be done or executed 2025.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about that. There have been some changes to the timeline, just because realistically we want to be able to give you guys enough time to do it. The projects need to be completed. We decided January 31st will be the hard deadline for you to be completed with your project. So if, let's say, the applications close August 3rd, I believe. August 3rd at 11:59 p.m. So make sure you guys set it, because at midnight is too late. So anything after midnight, it won't be accepted. So after that, if you guys are awarded the money that you ask for, then you will have from the time that you are awarded till January 31st of 2026 to complete your projects or your event. Go ahead, Renee.
Thank you. Wendy, I have a question for you. Yeah. So I know with the music venues and the performances that you have to book your venue before, and I know you've been at the Grand Annex as well. When you were applying for the grant, did you try to reserve the time and the space at the Grand Annex before you applied for the grant? Because I'm a little bit trying to find a venue. And so it's been a little tricky, and I was wondering if you had that same concern when you were applying.
Well, my event was at the Warner Grand for 3 years. I'm not having my festival at the Grand Annex. Um, then in 2024, it was at Brewery West.
Okay.
So we plan to come back there, even though it appears to be down to everybody, but they're still allowing people to do events there.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the thing. Everything has to align. So, you know, that's a really difficult part, is getting the venue ahead of time and matching it with the deadline to have completed your event.
Exactly.
So that's where it gets tricky.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So I just keep playing with the puzzle.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
And I'll jump in there and say too that I would cast the net out to a couple of different venues, get different quotes, and maybe average about the cost that it would be for that. That way, if one doesn't work out, the other works out, you've gotten up around the right amount of money that you'll need to book one of those venues. So if you have an idea of maybe you want to have it at the Grand Annex, but you could also possibly have it at the aquarium, or you could possibly have it at another venue, try to get estimates or quotes for how much it would be for the time frame that you would be wanting to have the event in. And then I would then use that average to kind of put in your budget what that would look like, because it's with events, it is difficult because it's not like you're painting a mural or doing a piece or like doing something like that. It's something that you have to have like hard set things, because you want to be able to provide that space for people. So that would be my best advice for that. Would be try to get different quotes from different people and then kind of try to get an average of how much that would cost and use that for your budget.
Okay.
Okay. Did anybody else have any other questions at this point? Awesome. Okay. So, I would say some common mistakes, that I have seen when, so far with people that have been applying, is that they aren't checking and double checking the contact information. So when you guys go ahead and apply on there, make sure that your email address is put in there correctly, because if I get a bounce back and I can't get a hold of you, then I can't tell you that you guys have been avoided, you know? So I need to make sure that your contact information, make sure you have an email, make sure you have a working number that I can contact you at if we need to get a hold of you, phone number wise. And make sure that you have a good mailing address. If you don't want to use your house mailing address, make sure that that the P.O. box is put on there correctly, and spelled correctly, because we do mail. It isn't going to be a direct deposit. It isn't going to be cash in hand. It's going to be a check that's mailed to you. So if I don't have the correct address, then I can't get your money to you in a timely manner. Okay. And there's a lot of you guys. So I can't chase around everybody and try to get their information confirmed. So, attention to detail, stuff like that is really going to help your application stand out, against people who maybe didn't go as attention to detail as possible. Another one is zipped files. When you guys are uploading your files, make sure they're not zipped. Make sure that I have access to them. Make sure that if it's a Google Drive, that you have it shared to anybody with the link. If you guys don't know how to do that, please reach out to me. I would love to help you guys with that. But that's going to prohibit me from being able to view your guys' documents if I can't look at it. If your files, listen to your music, any of your media formats, if I can't get access to those, I'm not going to have time to chase you guys down to say, hey, I need to have access to this so I can read it. I'm just going to move on to the next application. So make sure that you guys give me access to whatever files that you guys are going to be sharing with me. File formatting and sizes. Pay very close attention when you guys are uploading your documents and your media files and the stuff that they're asking for in the application. There is a file size limit, and there is certain formatting it needs to be in. Now, I'm going to be, after this meeting, it'll probably be up by tomorrow. I'm going to put a resources tab on our website, and I'm going to have on there links to be able to have to be able to go onto and format any media files or PDFs, images, anything like that. So that if you guys are, let's say you have a photo that you're trying to put on there and the size is too large, you guys can go on there, click on the link, uploaded it, it'll shrink it down to the correct size for free. So you guys don't have to try to figure it out. It's just an upload, and then it'll format it for you, and you just re-download it and then submit it. So you can submit it to me that way. I have found that that's been a big thing, a big stopping point for a lot of people, is figuring out formatting and figuring out sizes for their files. So to give you guys a leg up and an equal footing for everybody, I'm going to go ahead and help you guys out with that one. And I'll be putting those links and adding them onto the website. And I will send an email out tomorrow once it's up and going so that you guys can get that up as soon as possible. So the next part, we're going to go into some frequently asked questions. These are questions that have been have probably been ones that a lot of people have had because they're repetitive questions that they keep getting. So I figured I'd share it with everybody on here, the answers to these questions, so that everybody has access to the same thing. Your projects, like Renee had said, they need to be clear about the location. So I need to know where, what, why, when, time frame. I need to know if it's realistic, if it's well thought out. That way we can see that, because those are all things that are going to come into play when we're looking at the applications and deciding who we want to push forward. Is it a well thought out plan? Do you have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C? You know, like those kind of things, because that's going to go far. Because if we can see that you're a reliable person to be able to execute and think of all of those things, then we'll know that you're somebody that can, you know, see through. So as clear as you can be with your intentions, your timeline, your budget, the details of your budget, all that stuff will be a great help in having the panel go through and look at these things. Another thing is if your project requires permits or permissions, make sure that you have an idea of how you're going to get that done. And if they're going to be approved. So whether it's prodding and poking and asking questions ahead of time, being like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. Am I going to need a permit for this? Am I going to need permission to close the streets? You know, those kind of things. How much is that going to cost? You know, is that feasible? Those are things that you guys have to think about, because if we say yes to your thing and then you're like, oh, I can't do it because the permits weren't approved or they told us no, then we're kind of stuck in an issue, okay? So those are questions we're going to ask and we're going to look for and stuff like that. And that goes for murals. If you're going to be doing a mural on the side of a building or you're going to be putting something up on the side of the building, make sure that you have the permission of the building owner ahead of time and put that in there. Like, hey, I've contacted the owner. They've given me the green light if I get approved for this to do this mural. Those are all things. Go ahead, Lindsay. You had a question?
Yeah, I'm reading over the requirements and things on that are listed on the Arts United website. And mm-hmm. It says that the applicants must match 1/3 of the total budget.
Yes, we're about to get to that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then go for it.
Okay. So we'll jump to that one and then we'll jump back up to the question, the other question. So this was a question that a lot of people had about the 1/3 responsibility. So the way it is that you're going to ask us for a certain amount of money, right? The total cost of the project, okay, to 1/3 of that amount, and that remaining 1/3 is your responsibility. So let's say the total cost of your project is $14,000, okay? And Arts United will award your funds if let's say you got greenlit, you're going to be awarded. Your cost is $14,000 for the total project budget. So we would award you the funds of about 9,000, $333 and some change, right? But you would be responsible for the $4,666 and some change that would be remaining. So that part is what you would be responsible for. Now, as far as raising that money, sky's the limit. I mean, other than doing something that's illegal, please don't do that, and to obtain that money, you can do fundraising. You can look for other grants. We've had people who have asked for grants from Arts United, and they had a matching grant from the poor. They had matching from somewhere else. So I encourage you guys to look into that. That's not going to keep you from being awarded from our grant, is if you had another grant that's going to match those funds, okay? If you had a grant, money in kind, donations, all that stuff, that's money that is okay to be used. We just need to know an idea of where that rest of that money is going to come from, because that way we know that part's covered.
Another question.
Go ahead.
Under the same thing on budget, it says applicants may request up to 15% of the Arts United San Pedro requested budget for project administration. Do you mean like on for the project that we're proposing, you can propose like for the administrative side of planning the project, not just like the executing?
So that would be a good question for Amy. Minute. That's one that would be better to be answered, but I do want to get that answered. So when she pops back on, hold on to your question and I'll have her answer that one. Cause I could give an idea, but I feel like she would be able to explain it better. So, okay. Did anybody else have a question about the one third amount? No? Okay. Another question is, somebody asked is if they can't raise all the funding, what happens? So that is why it's very important for you guys to give us a budget. So in that budget is going to be an idea of like, this is how much it's going to cost. This is where the one third that we're responsible for is going to cover. And then the remaining amount we're asking for Arts United to cover. So, already have an idea of where you're going to be getting that money in order to get approved. So if we select your thing, we're going to reach out to you guys and be like, hey, you know, this is, you've made it into the final round or whatever. We're going to make sure before we push you out into the world of making your stuff, we're going to make sure that you have that money accounted for. So if you guys needed help with that, I encourage you to email me and I can, you know, kind of help you with some resources, prior to the submitting of your application for your proposal. I can kind of do some digging around and seeing what, other grants and stuff like that are out there that you would be able to apply for, to get that money raised. So, but I will say though that if you can't get all of the money, if you can't get that one third raised, then that's going to be kind of a tough one. So, did I see a hand go up? I thought I saw a hand. No? Okay. Another question is can the project already be in motion and can the grant act as a refund? So this is something that has been allowed in the past, but for this grant moving forward, we want to try to have it from the start to the end. So we don't want to do a project that's like, oh, we've already been doing this or it's happening, you know, right here and we're applying for the grant to get reimbursed for the project that we've already done. So we won't allow that to happen. So we need a project that's going to be starting after the approval process and be finished during that time frame of when it's approved to January 31st. So let's say if you guys already have it and it's happening next weekend or the weekend after you would get your approval letter, then that's going to be disqualifying. So just keep that in mind when you guys are applying. All right. Does anybody have any other questions? Go ahead, Anne.
I have not been able to find the open call for the grant, and I just tried to go on Arts United San Pedro, and the only place it took me was under grandvision.org, Arts United San Pedro. So
okay.
I haven't been able to find it.
Okay. So I will show you. Let me share my screen, and then I will show you exactly where to go. So give me 1 second to do that. Let's see. Okay. So can you guys see my screen right here? Yes. Awesome. Okay. So on our website, this is the website right here. If you go under requests for proposals, and you click the Visual Performing and Cultural Engagement Grant for 2025, if you click that, it will take you right here to the Request for Proposal page. So it'll take you right down. You can go on here. It'll give you all the information which we're going over today. And then at the very bottom, this is where the application is here. My contact information is also right here at the bottom of the page, right before the application process. So if you have any questions, concerns, issues, troubleshooting that you need help with, this is where you guys would go. This is the information. You guys can email me. You can call me as well. But yes, and then this is where you would apply, which is right. It's all on the same page. So you'll have your email, your first, your last name, your address, the mailing address, if it's different, phone number, and then this is where you would put all of your information right here. So for the statement of interest and the proposal description, these are things that you can either type up and copy and paste into here, but it does not allow for uploading. And there is a character limit, so make sure that you are aware of that. Just because it lets you upload more than 500 words max doesn't mean that I won't be counting your words. So please try not to go over. If I see a 5,000 word thing in there, I'm just going to move on to the next application. So that's the whole attention to detail part. And then right down here, this is where you guys will upload. You have your resume, limit of 4 pages only. Again, we're going to be a small panel of like 4 or 5 people. That's more than 4 pages long. While impressive, will be exhausting and time consuming. So please try to limit it to 4 pages. And you can upload that right here. The same with your media files. It'll tell you right here, 2 files mandatory, minimum 2 files, max is 5. And then here is the budgets. And you would upload that. There is a template right here that you're more than welcome to click. Please make sure when you click, if you do decide to use the template, that you download a copy of it and then save that elsewhere. Because if you open this, it'll just take you to the template. And if somebody else had also used it, their information is going to be on there. So make sure that if you click it, that you copy it or create it, duplicate it, and then save it to your files. And then here again is your timeline. Here it is PDF doc or docx file only. Please pay attention to that because I will not allow you to upload anything else. So that is where you can find it. There is another way to find it on the website, I believe. Let me see. If you go to the calendar, it is also on the calendar. So if you click our calendar of events, not only can you find all the amazing things that are going on, right here at the top is going to be the request for proposals. So you can click there as well. Awesome. So,
excuse me, Lex, but you didn't say where you were looking. I just heard you start to talk. Where are you finding this? Is this the website? Is this?
Yes, it's artsunitedsanpedro.org, and I can put that. I'll put it right here in the chat, so you guys can see it.
So you Google it. We Google that information.
You can Google it, but you can also just type in sp.org. And I'll put the information right here in the chats for you as well. That way you guys can just click right on there. There you go. And that'll take you right to the request for proposals.
Okay, because when I type in Arts United San Pedro, it takes me to Angels Gate Cultural Center.
It's artsunitedsp.org.
But why is it doing that, I'm wondering.
But I also put the link in the chat as well.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Ziggy, I saw you raised your hand. Did you have a question?
Yes. Hi. Yes. I apologize if you mentioned this already, Alexis, but I understand it's a matching grant process. And in terms of the matching funds, do they need to be in our, you know, in our bank, so to speak, or can they be pledged as well?
As far as how you're going to have those funds, the remaining funds that are due?
Yes.
I'm going to say that we're not going to ask for proof that you have it. So we don't need to see bank statements or any kind of that. We just need to know that you have a plan to pay that, for that amount of money. So, I mean, obviously, if you do get approved, and then you tell us, oh, we never got that money, like I've mentioned before, then we might be in a little bit of a pickle. Thankfully, that's not happened that I'm aware of, where we've been in that kind of situation. Okay. But we need to know where you're planning, at least the plan of how you're going to be funding that. So if you do have pledges or you do have some sort of way of raising that money, please put that in the proposal as well, that your plan for that. So that way we know your intention is. Yes. Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Awesome. So I'm going to pull up some documents just so you guys can see what it's going to look like as far as the documents that you're going to be looking to be submitting. Okay. So as you request, the documents that we're going to be looking at is the budget, because I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about the budget. We just went over the proposal on the website, so I won't pull that up again. But we're going to show what the interim report looks like, as well as the post project report, which we're going to request that you guys fill out. If you guys do get approved, as well as the grading rubric, because I know that a lot of people are going to want to know, like, hey, like, you know, what is the judging process going to be looking like? And while I get that pulled up, Wendy, I'm curious if you want to share on there, what it was like for you going through part of the process. Were you nervous? Were you notified in a timely manner? That kind of stuff.
No, I wasn't nervous. I wasn't nervous because the project that I put forward, I had been doing for a while already. So I had all the necessary elements to make up the grant. I had everything that was needed. Including past events in terms of videos and printed materials from newspaper articles, et cetera. And so it was just a matter of the person that I have that does all of my online work. Sometimes I find it difficult to upload and do certain things, finding things, even now, you know, like, actually, when I have typed in the Arts United, it came up Angels Gate. And so those kinds of things really kind of send me in a tizzy, because it's like, okay, I just put in Arts United, and why did it go to Angels Gate? Certain things like that, you know,
kind of
rub me. But other than that, I was pretty much prepared. And that's what I'm saying to each one of us on this Zoom is preparation. And in the meantime, even if you don't get this rant this year, you should be prepared for next year by putting those things together, the visuals, your narratives, because those things don't really change. And because I'm a 501c3, my mission and my vision are pretty much the same for, you know, for years now. And so it's just a matter of having someone who is capable of uploading those things in my case, because that's better at it than I am. I wasn't nervous. I was just watching the calendar to make sure that I was meeting these obligations in a timely manner and setting those goals for myself along the way. Like, in 2 weeks, I need to have this, this, this. And by another date, I need to have this in place so that it doesn't all come down on you at one time. So just thinking ahead all the time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sunghee, I saw that you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the right time to ask this question, but so like last year I submitted a proposal to do an open call exhibition, and it was going to be one, the theme would have been to focus on arts of the harbor area, invite artists from, you know, not just San Pedro, but actually kind of like the other Bay areas that we don't think about, you know, like Compton and Lomita and all that, which I still think is a really great idea. I didn't get it. One of the pieces of feedback I got was that they really want the artists to be paid. And so that was that is still kind of a question for me. I'm like, if it's an open call, how do you pay the artists? Like, it's kind of, I don't know, it's definitely outside the realm of how open calls are typically done. So that's one question. Two is generally, so Burbank, the city of Burbank is not crazy about giving grants for curatorial projects.
Mm-hmm.
Is there kind of like, is there a lens or perspective with Arts United for these grants?
I would say that's a hard one to answer for me, just because this is my first grant go through with Arts United. So for previous ones, I know that they've kind of tweaked it along the way based on how things have gone in the past to get to the current grant that we're at. I will say that I know that in the past, when it comes to curatorial calls, we've kind of tried to lean against away from it also because there is a curatorial call done at Angels Gate around the same time as we do our grant. So just to kind of try not to we try to allow them to have the room to and space to be able to do that. And we try to encourage a lot of people who have that curatorial mindset to go towards their call for that. As far as yours goes, though, I know that the artist being paid is a big thing that we are trying to really be better at, especially with a lot of the projects and things that we get involved in. And that's from learning things that we've come to with Arts United, putting on the Arts Open event and different stuff like that. So we want to make sure that the artists that are putting the time into things are getting compensated for that. And we're not necessarily saying that you yourself would have to pay for that, but if you were to put that in the budgets for the artists that are doing that, that would have been something that we could have helped put money towards to help go towards the artists. As far as the you saying that it's not something that's commonly done, I'm not super familiar with that particular kind of call. So I can't speak towards that, if that's a normal thing to pay the artist or not a normal thing to pay the artist. Like I said, we tend to with our grants, not do too many curatorial projects like that. But what I can do is I can try to get more information on that for you, and then I'll email you any information for that. Or if Amy jumps on a little bit later, because she's been a part of the past ones, and from the judging and from seeing it all the way through, then she might be able to answer that question as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, open calls will sometimes have awards, like, mm-hmm. you know, first place, second place, cash awards kind of a thing. So that could be yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, and then I was on the call for the Angels Gate curatorial open mm-hmm. call too, but yeah, I can see, like, you wouldn't want to have competing or overlap of that. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, so I have pulled up the rubric for the arts and culture engagement for the how we're going to judge it. We'll kind of briefly go through this, and just so that you guys can kind of get an idea of what we're looking at when we are judging these proposals. Let me go ahead and share my screen so you guys can see it. Okay. So this is what our it is, if you scroll down, I'll scroll back up, I promise. The overall score total is up to 100. So, it goes from exceptional, 90 to 100 points, competent, 70 to 89 points, limited, 40 to 69 points, and inadequate. So the difference things that we're going to be judging on right here. The criteria, the first one is artistic and cultural significance, and the weight of that is 30 points. Now, I'll pause here. You guys can kind of look. I can make it a little bit bigger, too, so that people can see it. When we're talking about this, this kind of speaks to what Wendy had mentioned earlier about it really wanting to feed into bolstering that cultural and artistic community. So for you to get the highest points, the proposal, you know, has to demonstrate a profound understanding of the artistic and cultural significance of the project, and it clearly articulates how the engagement will contribute to the enrichment of the community and the arts district cultural landscape. So, and that's for the exceptional, and then it kind of goes down from there. So obviously we want to aim for the exceptional one. That's why I read that one. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking to judge for when it comes to that criteria. So for example, so Amos's idea that he had for the Dancing Through the Ages, that would be a great way to, if you can clearly articulate how that engagement would contribute to the enrichment of the community and the arts district, and the cultural district as a whole, then that would be a, you know, a great way to do that. So that's just an example of the kind of things that we're kind of talking about in that section. The second one, criteria two, would be community engagement and impact. The weight for that is 25 points that you can get max. For this one, community engagement and impact is a big thing with us at Arts United. We want to get the community involved with the arts, and we want them to fall in love with art just as much as we put our blood, sweat, and tears into creating it, to demonstrating it, and to performing it. So if we can get the community engagement in, if we can impact our community in a great way, whether that's bringing people in to see these things and then by extension, showing the beauty of our arts and cultural district, or if it's just having somebody come down to see live music, like, oh, that really touched me deeply, and maybe now I want to pursue music, or I want to take that guitar lesson that I've been putting off for a long time, you know, procrastinating about. So, you know, we really want the community to feel connected to the arts in some way, shape, or form. So that is what we're talking about when we're talking about community engagement and impact. For the third criteria, feasibility and resources. Okay. The weight for this is the max of 20 points. The top one, I'll read it. The proposal demonstrates a clear and realistic plan for implementation, considering logistical details, resource requirements, and potential challenges. Budgetary considerations are well thought out. So with this, we want this to be something that isn't going to cause some kind of mental and emotional and financial burden on you or your, you know, anybody that's helping you on this. So we want things that are going to be feasible. So while we do want you to reach for the stars and all of your ambitions for this, for us to be able to fund you, we want it to be something that's realistic and feasible for you to achieve. So if you feel like if we read it and it seems like it's a little out of the depth of the person, or they're not really clear, they're more like, oh, this is what I hope for, instead of being like, this is what we're going to do, then that will kind of sway our decisions and the judging process for that. Criteria four is creativity and innovation. The highest weight of that one is 15 points. You guys are artists, so we know you guys are going to be creative. We know you're going to be innovative. So we're not too concerned about that one. But I would encourage you to do something that we haven't seen before. If it's the same thing over and over and over again, the community is going to get kind of worn down by that. They're going to be like, oh, it's another thing that we've seen a million times before. We want something new. We want something vibrant. So as creative as you guys can have, that'd be great. We want it to be something that's going to be like, oh, wow, you know, really wow us. And that will go far. For criteria five, this is the last one, presentation and clarity. Now, don't be fooled by the weight of this being 10 points, okay? Because this 10 points can make or break whether you get up to that 100 to 90 to 100 point thresholds, okay? If we have to struggle to open your stuff, if we have to struggle to understand the concepts behind what you guys are wanting to do, if it's not organized, if it's not well written, that's going to really, it's going to make it a little bit difficult for us to want to move forward with that. Not saying though, and I want to be really clear about this, I don't want, if you're not good at writing proposals, if you're not good at making something sound really wow, that's not going to disqualify you from getting awarded your thing, because we can see the heart behind it. We just want you guys to try your best to make it as well organized as possible. And that's why I'm here is so if you guys need help with something, if you guys need me to read through something, I'm not going to be sitting on this panel because, you know, it's, I'm here to help you guys. So we have a panel of other people that are going to sit on it and look at it. So that means that I have the benefit of sitting here and helping you guys to be able to clearly outline what you guys want to be done. Please use me as a resource. So like I said, overall the score is going to be, is going to go from 100 down to 30 to 5 is the lowest. I don't think we've ever had anybody score that low. But like I said, we've had people in the past where we've had 23 applicants and we only chose 9. So, make sure that you guys really think about what you guys are applying for. It's really well thought out, because that's going to go a long way. So, I'm going to pull up another thing. Hold on 1 second. If you guys do get awarded your stuff, there will be some stuff that you're going to have to fill out, and I'll explain why, because it is, it's helpful for us and it's helpful for you as well to reflect. So I'm going to go over what the interim report is going to look like, as well as the post-project report. And then we'll get into the budget as well at the end for people who have some questions about the budget. Oh, here we go. Let me pull that up. Okay. Can you guys see this right here? Yes? Awesome. Cool. So this is what you're going to have, two reports that are going to be due. One's going to be done about midway through, and this is going to be the report that's going to be like the planning. So you're going to be deep into planning by this point. You're going to have gotten your funding in August. And by the end of September, I'm hoping a lot of you guys will be well into the planning of your event or your project or whatever it is that you want to do. We're going to have you fill this out. This will be emailed to you and reminders will be sent out. So don't worry if you forget in the hubbub of everything that's going on. Just going to ask you guys, you know, what's going on so far? You know, have there been any changes to your project? We've had people who have come across complications and halfway through they've had to like change direction on how they're going to accomplish their stuff. So we want all of that to be put in here because that helps us later on to improve the grant process and make it easier. Or if we need to change guidelines or change rules or things like that, that's what's going to help us make those decisions. So this is very important for you guys to fill out. These will be sent out to you. Now at the end, you'll have this one. This is a post-project report. It is going to be due. We're going to change this to be in January, because if you guys' stuff is due in January, then obviously you're not going to be turning in your post-project report. So, but as soon as you guys are done with your report, I mean, with your project or stuff, I'm going to expect that this is going to be just expect to be filling this out. So this is just going to basically go over the details of how it went, how much money it was, how long the projects took. Were there any funds remaining afterwards? Yes or no? How much it was? And then we want to know how many people participated. How many people came to your event? How many people were involved in it? That kind of stuff. And then you're going to have some questions towards the end that you'll fill out. These are going to help us later on when we're asking or we're trying to get funding from people, from sponsors and stuff, to be able to continue to have grants for you guys. This, for example, right now I'm in the process of creating an economic impact report for Arts United. These post projects reports are what I look at when creating that, because this is a great reflection of events that we've helped put on in our community and the impact that they've had on them. So these are very important for you to fill out. This also, it should be noted, and I'm sure those who have gotten funding from us in the past can attest to this, you won't get your final check until I get this submitted. So I'm the person who will be like, if you at the end, when you get your money, the way that it's broken down is you'll get a certain chunk of it in the beginning and then you'll get the remaining at the end. That final check doesn't come through and it won't get sent out to you until I get this post-project report. So, I'm sure that's incentive for a lot of people in the past to, get this sent over. Before we move on to the project budget, is there anybody who's had any questions so far?
Are we able to you showed us a number of documents with the grading system and also these things. Are we able to look at those online ourselves?
Yes, I can send it out. Let me see. I will see if I can upload that into the chat so that you guys can kind of see that and have that to look at back on. So, yeah.
So will you tell people who the panelists are that view the proposals?
Like if you get chosen, like who sits on the panel?
Who looked at the proposals?
So far we're still combining, like creating the panel. We've have a couple of people who are going to be on there now, but, I'm not going to tell their names unless they choose to, make themselves known, just because, we don't want any conflict of interest. But if there is one that they are aware of, they know to exclude themselves from that.
Okay.
All right. So let me see if I can add this into the chat so that you guys can have that rubric at your disposal. Let's see. Yep, here we go. All right. There you go. I just put it into the chat, so feel free to click on that and save it if you would like. All right. So we're going to move on over to the project budget. This obviously is just a template. If you have your own budgets on Excel or on Google Sheets, you are more than welcome to use that. This is just one that we have as so that you guys can kind of have a guideline as to what should be included. Also, on the template that is on the application process, you are able to, if you save it, you are able to edit these things. So obviously, if some of these things don't apply to you, feel free to change the titles to tailor more to what you guys are needing or what you guys need it to be titled as. So it's a pretty basic budget. I will say on here, it says other expenses and it says please list. That's going to go right down here. Just make sure where it says explanations, you explain what those other expenses are. I know for Lindsay, I don't know if she's still on here, but those of you guys who are still wanting to do meals or anything like that, please include an other expensive maintenance and upkeep of your mural pieces, because the last thing we want to see is a beautiful mural go up and it get tagged or it get destroyed or it's needs to have maintenance over the course of time. So we want you to take that into consideration. And I'm telling you guys this now because that's going to go into the judging of murals, if those are things that are submitted on there. So if you decide to do a mural piece and you don't have an explanation as to how you're going to have that mural piece protected or maintained, then that can hurt your chances as far as getting approved, because that's something that we really want to make sure is accounted for. So if you look on here, there's different areas. There's going to be an amount covered by the Arts United request. So that's the amount that we would cover. This is would be your matching fund. So this would be the one third that you would put right here. And then the total expense of what it's going to be would be in this third column. Okay. And up in here, this is where you can kind of put the amounts. And then you can also put any details. So if you are getting your matching funds done by another grant or a fundraiser or something like that, you can put that in here where it says sources. Is there any questions on the budget? Awesome. Okay. So we're almost at time. I'm just going to go over quickly some timeline stuff that has information that's either been changed or has been updated. Like I had mentioned before, the timeline you have from January, so the time you get awarded to January 31st, it was originally December 31st of this year, but we have extended it out another month. So that's an update that you need to know. A good thing to know, though, is that that's a hard date. So if you have an event that's going to happen in the spring, so in April, May, any of that kind of stuff, February, I encourage you to have your proposal ready and submit it. We're going to have another one. We're going to have another grant in January. So if you have something that's going to be taking place after January, I encourage you to apply to the one that's going to be happening in the spring and not this one. I have had a lot of people ask, like, hey, like, I'm thinking about doing this, you know, in February or you know, April, May timeframe. I would say to not apply it to this one because it's going to get rejected because it's not going to be done by the January 31st timeframe. But we are going to be doing another grant in January. So after this one concludes, so I encourage you guys to apply to that one. And also if you apply to this grant and you don't get it, then I also encourage you guys to try again at the one in January. Okay. All right. One extra thing to add. We are going to be doing, if you guys do get approved, or if even if you guys are just interested, we are going to be doing a social media and promoting seminar in September. And for those of you who want to promote your events or your projects or anything like that, or just overall need help with social media in general and getting your information about your artwork and stuff out there, we are going to be holding a seminar in September, most likely at the Grand Annex. So just keep that in mind. If you guys do need help with that, I will send out more information. It'll be put up on our event calendar as things get more solidified, but it will be taking place in September. So other than that, that's all the information that I have. I just wanted to open it up to questions in case anybody had any last minute questions before we end the call. Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your day to come in and listen to me talk for an hour and a half. And again, I am always open to questions. If you guys think of one later, please don't hesitate to email me, reach out to me. I will have those links up on the resources tab on our website. If not tomorrow, then definitely by Friday. So if that's it, then I will let you guys get back to the rest of your afternoon and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. Amazing.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alexis.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you too.
Thanks, everybody.
No problem.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye.